So this is the second part of the seminar, and they are wonderful panelists, and I read the bio and the brief description that they gave me, and I say, wow, all those accomplishments, God has really used them so much in their retirement, and that is something that is also as inspiring. So let me go ahead and get started, because we are really tight with schedule and some people need to leave on time and so forth. But let me introduce you first, Ruth. Eugene has been mentioning about her throughout the whole presentation. She is Eugene's wife. She was born in Vietnam and started attending church and Sunday school as a child. So she was baptized as a teenager, and she met Eugene at UCLA as a graduate student. She worked briefly as a researcher before deciding to prioritize her time as a homemaker as the children were growing up. And so later she worked as an admin assistant at church and at church and a seminary until she retired. Is there anything else I need to add? Okay, the next one we have David Liu. Came from Taiwan, and he received his MS in Transportation and Business Logistics from University of Minnesota. Thereafter, he worked for major shipping companies, including Maersk Line, the world's largest Danish container shipping company. So in 1982, he founded the Houston branch of Yang Ming America Corp, a marine transport company, and served as the general manager of the U.S. Gulf regions. And he was promoted to VP of Houston Customer Service Center for the U.S. Atlantic and Gulf regions, while serving as board director of three Yang Ming trucking companies in U.S. He retired in 2016. And he served as board director and advisor of the International Chinese Christian Business Association for many years, and was also advisory board member of Houston Christian University Centers for Christianity in Business for many years. Davis was one of the HCC founding members, and has served as deacon, mission committee chairman, fellowship advisor, and adult Sunday schools teacher for many years. So a lot of accomplishment in his life and many more to come. And Nancy is David's wife, and let me read her brief introduction. She was born and raised in Hong Kong, and she considers her spiritual heritage her greatest asset in life. She received her bachelor in social work from University of Minnesota, and after college, she joined Campus Crusade for Christ and started her ministry in Hong Kong. She joined HCC staff from 1977 through 1980, I didn't know that, and worked for Houston Chinese Community Center at United Way Agency for 8 years, and held the executive director position on her last 6 years. Nancy was a member of the Mayor Advisory Committee on Immigrant and Refugees Affairs during Mayor Lee Brown's term. And in 2006, she initiated Chinese Christian Herald Crusade, the Houston branch, and currently serves as its Texas Superintendent and Houston Branch Director. A lot of accomplishment as well. And then now we go to Pastor Timothy Chan, and I got to know him maybe about a year ago, trying to get him to come and invite him to come and speak to us, but he is just so busy. Yes, at least can you give me an hour to come and speak to us, give us, you know, some insight, wisdom. But Pastor Chan was born in Fujian province, China, and grew up in Taiwan. He received his master and doctorate in statistics from the University of Chicago, and he has served as a researcher and professor at various institutes, assistant professor at MD Anderson Cancer Center, and full professor at University of Maryland School of Medicine. Pastor Chen complete his Master of Divinity at Southwestern Theological Seminary in 1989 and served as pastor at various Chinese churches for 18 years. And he received his PhD in theology and at Mid-America Baptist Theology Seminary in 2018, and he has published more than 30 books reviewed in English theological publication. So this past 4 years, he has taught at various seminaries and is currently an adjunct professor at Chinese Language Program or Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. So very, very active. And his wife, just got to meet her today. Mrs. Chen is Mei Ming.
Mei Ming
Chen was born in Fujian Province, China, and grew up in Taiwan as well. And she received her master's degree in library science from Dominican University in Chicago, and was a PhD candidate at the Information Science Institute of the University of North Texas, and worked as the National Institute of Health in the United States National Library of Medicine for 10 years. So in 2001, she decided she wanted to serve God full-time alongside her husband. And so she entered Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas, obtained dual master degrees in marriage and family counseling and educational administration. Currently, Mrs. Chen is pursuing her doctorate in biblical counseling at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Wow. So we have a wonderful panelist, and we can learn so much from them. So I'm going to start off and kick off the discussion with the first question, and so that you can hear from them what from their experience and words from wisdom. So from the first question is, different people have different definition for finishing strong. Each of us has, you know, our own goal and purpose, but we want to hear from you, what does finish strong mean to you? So I just, you know, just open the floor, just wherever we want to start first. We have the mic if you speak very soft so that, you know, the audience can hear you. So.
Pastor Chen.
Okay. Finished strong is that, actually it's a new phrase for me. So, for myself, I would say that I just like to work. I like work. Just regular working. So, you know, I was in a secular research setting. When I was a researcher, I worked hard and also had good accomplishment. When God called me into ministry, I also worked as hard as a researcher. And I would say right now, retirement and no retirement, retirement and pre-retirement, the difference is whether I get a paycheck from a church. If I don't get, yeah, so I get a paycheck, then I'm not in retirement. I don't get a paycheck, so I think that's other people's definition of retirement. But I work as hard as, you know, when I work for a church. And right now I'm an adjunct professor for Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. That's a regular course, 3 credit hours this semester. So I prepare all the videos students can watch, and then every week I give them 1 hour to discuss with me on Zoom to answer their questions. Besides that, I also teach like four intensive courses for seminary. Yeah, for two seminaries in China. I did not have opportunity to go to China, but after the COVID epidemic, then I can teach them by Zoom. So that's what I'm doing now. And also, probably I'm talking to another seminary in Taiwan. I can teach, you know, intensive course for them in March. And besides that, actually every month I preach one time at the Chinese Fellowship Group in Victoria, Texas. So I drive 2 hours one way to there, preach, teach Sunday school, preach, and then come back once a month. And then right now, in this year, Southwest Chinese Baptist Church, Southwest Chinese Baptist Church, Pastor Wang, as a senior pastor, he asked me to help the Mandarin service. So I will preach there once every month in the Mandarin service. So that's enough to keep me busy. So I really enjoy doing that. So I pray to God that give me good health. I can continue to do this. Yeah, but you know, since last year in October, I was sick for a whole month. After that, I really feel like I'm not as strong as before. But still, by God's grace, I just want to keep on going. Yeah, thank you. Also, I do have my book here. I want to give you as a gift. I published my sermon books. And this is a sixth sermon book. Every family can get a copy. If you don't read Chinese, you can take one, give that to your friends who can read Chinese. And some of my friends told me that previous sermon books, I give to them and they give to their friends. And they told me that, good for their friends. One person told me that friends became a Christian. Okay, so that's wonderful. I just glad that when we prepare the sermon, we pray for it, and we prepare it in very detail. So I'm glad I can publish it and help out those reading my sermon books. Thank you.
I didn't know the question until last night he showed me. Okay, to me, finishing strong, just no matter what you do, do your best. And pray fully, gratefully, and joyfully every day.
To me, finishing strong means living up God's purpose in my life. It's got to put me in a very special training school. A few years after my marriage, my parent-in-law, together with a sister-in-law who is mentally retarded, decided to move in with us. And for 30 years, God put me in this training school for a purpose. And then also, I retired early because my parents and his parents were all almost the same age, and so I knew I had to quit being the executive director of a center that operates 7 days and 12 hours a day. And I knew that God did not put me in all these circumstances, just to give me a hard time or just live up the frustration and all those, but really to train me in my characters and, to have the empathy. And so I already knew before I retire, I want to be a dream catcher. I saw all these brothers and sisters who wanted to do something for Christ, not in a magnitude like Evan, being able to travel afar. And of course, interestingly, when I retire, I was approached by some headhunters to be a bank, a manager, since I knew so many people in the Chinese Community Center. And I was entertained by an idea to sit on a board, to be a paid board of directors for a funeral home. I told the bank, oh, my whole life I only know how to give money away. How can I make money for the bank? So I knew, you know, that's not for me. And then being a dream catcher, Karen Ho approached me about her desire to, you know, start a childcare center. And so we did, with the help of the church, we started 2011, all aboard learning center, and then the Agape Learning Center. I think this is the most rewarding, you know, time in our life. We saw all these young children memorizing their Bible, and they knew all the books of the Bible and everything. And then Mei Shen approached me and said, everyone wants to start a nonprofit. And they thought it's fun, and I knew it's not. So I said, and then a third party wanted to start a counseling center, because I think HCC, WHCC, and BCC all entertained this idea for almost 30 years. And then someone approached me and said, can we start, you know, because they don't want that liability. And so should we start another nonprofit? So at that time, came together, and I said, I know there's an organization in New York, and why don't we all bend under them as an associate, a branch? Then they have all the responsibility up there on the board, and we just focus on the lean and mean part, just the meat. And, you know, this counseling center, we started this ministry 2006 until today, and we have, you know, been a blessing to many of the church people and a healing place for so many. So I really thank God, you know, just being that part.
One thing I feel good after retirement is that I can dress casual. Just kidding. Yeah. But truly, I think the difference is that I don't have to work for a living. I can concentrate and focus on living for mission. You know, I think every Christian knows that there are two missions of a Christian. One is the gospel mission, and meaning that we have to spread God's salvation to all nations. And like Paul said in the Acts of the Bible, that all we do is for the sake of gospel, and so the people can be benefited. That's one of the mission. And the other mission is the cultural mission, meaning that we as a Christian, we have to become the salt and the light of the world, witness faith in life, and influence the world to be a Christian culture. You know, I think that's the two missions. You know, so I agree with Eugene to say first that after retirement, you have to remember the family is the most important. I feel really sorry that I did not spend much time with my family when I work, because I travel a lot. I was in charge of about 25 states, and I also have to travel everywhere and overseas. So I did not spend much time with my family. But after retirement, the first thing in the morning, what I do is to read Bibles and share the Bible verses and prayers with my children in the night. You know, I think that's I really treasure this kind of opportunity, so I can maintain and also improve my relationship with my children. And of course, I join a lot of the activities in the church and also the Christian organizations. And at HC, I joined the Rock Fellowship. I'm the vice chair of the Rock Fellowship and also in charge of the Spirit Department. And I'll be 80 years old next year, and I will be the chairperson of the Rock Fellowship. Believe it or not. I cannot really believe that. But anyway, with the God's grace, you know, I take this challenge anyway. And I joined the International Chinese Christian Business Association and also they have a DBA. The name is the Center for Chinese Christian in the Marketplace. Mm-hmm. You know, I have joined the activities for a long time, and the ICCBA have the weekly prayers meeting, and monthly faith and work forum. Today, actually, you know, at 8:30 was the forum, and also have monthly the business fellowship, and the yearly, you know, the conference, and also they have the business as mission to South America and also Africa. Lots of activities I participate and engage into that. And also I attended the activities of Houston Christian University, and they have the quarterly, you know, the business luncheon and a seminar, and it's a very, very good program for that. And in addition to that, I joined the prayer meetings in HCCMF. That's the fellowship for all the ministers and co-workers of Chinese Christian churches and organizations. So yeah, I've been very active in these areas, and I really enjoy that very much. Thank you.
What is finishing strong? I thought of that last night, and I got an answer. But it's the same as Mrs. Chen, doing our best. So actually, I always want to do my best. When I was a young mother, in my heart is, I really want to make sure my children are Christian. They will be Jesus followers. But I thought that's all, and then it will be their job to take care of the grandchildren. So all this year, I make sure I will take my children to church, Sunday school, youth camp, and all make sure they get saturated by the Bible or Christian idea. So, but until 2016, we have chance to attend a conference. It's how to be an intentional Christian grandparents. How do we pass our legacy of faith, not just to my children, but also a proper included our grandchildren. So a lot of time we thought, oh, we want to take care of our children. Now when we get grandchildren, what do we do? Pray with them, spoil them, give them candy. But actually, being a grandparents is different. It's not just a payment or just take care of them. I know when we were in W, we have some friend who always disappear for half year and then come back to the fellowship or church. And then I will ask them, where did you go? I thought you moved away. He said, oh, no, no, I just went to Chicago to take care of my first grandchild. So each grandchild came, she will leave Houston and go to the place to take care of them. So is that the most important duty of being a grandma or a grandfather? But we can think about that. On the other hand, we also, the culture told us, hey, you have been taking, sorry, I'm not used to the country will say, hey, you have been only worked so hard your whole life. Now is time to pray, time to think of yourself, your children, your family, just myself. So, but is that all we need to do being retired? Hey, we have some friend always say, hey, I saw a good cruise trip and very reasonable and very nice. You want to go? So I know in our Cantonese fellowship in Dublin, they will always have maybe 30 people go to the same cruise trip. Or even the past year, we have a retreat for Cantonese fellowship. We go on, we went on a cruise trip. We all have a good time. But is that all we need to do? No, the Bible told us. What should we do with our grandchildren? Can we just kind of read that out now? We can read that in Chinese or English. I'll read that in Cantonese. You can read that in English. Let's do it. What did the Bible say? Teach them to your children and to their children after them. So, do we have we done that? Just think about, have they, what do you do with your grandchildren? Do you care that if they have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal savior? Like when they go to college, away to college, have you thought of what kind of temptation and test they are facing? And when I look at my grandchildren, you look at the two pictures. Which one? This one is the past Thanksgiving. We took a picture that when everybody is home with six grandchildren. And the other one is about 6 years ago. Look at that. They grew up so fast. Too fast for us to sometimes even think about that. So what have we done? Do we care about the spiritual life? Or we just want to give them money, pray with them, and that's all. So actually, if we remember the Bible verse, we just say, we should really share our life story with our grandchildren. Like, I'm very grateful that Tim and Teresa will let us move to Houston, and we have time to see them growing up. And especially, I really appreciate Emery, because now the two older ones went away. She has no one to pray with, only come to me. So, I can tell her the story, and also she will tell me some of her story. So this is very important to share our life story. And someone even said, just write that down. If you don't want to write down, now we can take a video. And so, why do I share with this? Because I think being in my stage, that's the most important to me. And also, I want to do the best as Mrs. Chen said. Thank you.
All right, so now we have that first question. Now I want to open the floor to have you to ask them question, any question that you have. give you the chance to basically get the wisdom and also leave out of here, you know, remember that you have some question and it was answered. No one? Okay, pass
it. I'm gonna retire in 5 months. what advice, I mean, in preparation, thinking down the road of leaving a legacy or whatnot, what are some advice or thoughts of preparation? And I think many of us are probably in that stage of approaching. In preparing for that time, or what should we be thinking about?
Yeah, I would say whatever Eugene talk about, you know, those things we just follow and do. Then of course everyone can leave your legacy, you know, about your children, about your grandchildren, about how to use your money, you know, about your service to a church. I would say that we just need to, you know, to have a mind to do the things according to God's will, to please God. I think that's, you know, that's our goal for the whole life. No matter where you are and when you are, you put out that goal, then that would be okay. That would be all right. Then the result would be good. So I would say that no matter when at what stage you are, you always have to think about what is God's will for my life and how can I best serve my God. So if you have that thinking all the way through your life, I would say that God will use us. God will use us.
Yeah. And I totally agree with Eugene, you know, that we have to be prepared in all the ways. Even now, as you are in your job, you know, you start building that relationship, because the most precious asset for you when you retire are your relationships, whether it's in business with your congregation, you know, because you won't be able to jump in and say, oh, now I'm retired, I really want to be fired up for God, and you just trot your own way. I don't think that's the way to go, because I think in retirement, especially, I know all of you have dreams, bucket lists for your cruise, those 3 years cruise, and when you live, you have that, and you have your kids, your family, and then mentally be prepared for, you know, because that stage also coincides with the your parents may be needing you at that also. So we have to be mentally be prepared, and you know, and then I think the most important thing is our social life, our friendship, this church. Why would we call it a family? As you, the Rock Fellowship will be really, you know, I think this is an example of a family. When David had aortic aneurysm and we were in the emergency room, I don't call my daughter, who was so scared, you know, she doesn't even know what to do because the doctor said he may just die on the operation table. I'll call my friend in the Rock Fellowship who know all the funeral procedure and preparation and everything. This is our group. And that's time when you have to give and take. You are not always, you know, on the giving end. There are times when you are on the taking end, and do it graciously because you know you need help. So I think all these mental preparation as we go into retirement, you know, these are all very important, or else we'll fall apart once we run into a difficulty, you know, our own physical health deteriorating. And then I can't agree more with Eugene, you know, that set aside that money financially when you are working. because you have that asset now, you know, like in Chinese Christian Herald would say, our budget now, just a very lean budget, it's $100,000 a year. And people will ask, are you crazy? You want to take another burden on, you know, $100,000? What if your donation doesn't come in and then you will be responsible for the rent and all the salary and all the... So, you know, start preparing it. And with all these things, God will give us, deliver us when you think you just can't go on anymore with all the responsibilities on your hand. And, you know, just, I think the church is the best platform for us, you know, to transmit our legacy to our family and to our friends.
I'd like to share the two things that I think most important is from the gratitude and also enthusiasm, these two aspects. And in 1974, I met a missionary in the Chinese Student Christian Fellowship at the University of Houston. He was an American, retired from her mission in Taiwan, and lived in Houston. She was a very kind and elegant lady. Although she was old and sick, she always had a sunny and hopeful smile. She said that every day she wakes up, her heart is full of gratitude because every day begins with God's grace. It really touched me deeply. I suffer, like Nancy just mentioned, from a cardiovascular disease, and I have had three major surgeries due to aortic aneurysm and the blood vessel rupture. My major arteries are all replaced by artificial ones. So I'm really a bionic man. Yeah, I pass out when I drive on the freeway due to a cardiac arrest. But I also, you know, suffered vocal cord damages due to surgery error and lost my voice for 6 months. But God miraculously, you know, saved me and healed me. And my friend all said, God is still there. And he's with you, and he will wants to use you. My heart is full of gratitude because every day is God's grace. I cherish the privilege of living for God. I work hard to serve him and glorify him. And the second is enthusiasm. The famous writer Samuel Woodman said in his very popular essay, Youth. Youth is not a time of life, it is a state of mind. It is a matter of the will, a quality of the imagination, vigor of the emotions. Years may wrinkle the skin, but give up enthusiasm wrinkles soul. I get up every morning to read Bible, pray, and share Bible verses and prayers with my children online. I like to grow flowers, fruits, and vegetables. I swim in the summer and jog in the winter. I actively participate in church, fellowship, choir, and Christian organizations. Although I'm a old, but I'm full of enthusiasm for life, and my heart is still very young. And one thing more is that I can spend 24 hours with Nancy, my wife, now. I just hope that she's not tired with me. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you have something to add, Mrs. Chen?
Well, talking about relationship is very, very important. In addition,
flexibility and adaptable to your new life. And talking about heart, I think keeping, anchoring our heart in the Lord is very important. You know, Bible says, above all, guard your heart. Everything flows from your heart. And St. Augustine said, my heart is restless until it rests in the Lord. So anchor your heart in the Lord and fixing your eye in Jesus. Having your hope, knowing God will help you deal with any kind of problems.
So I'm gonna go to the next question because I would like this question to be addressed as well, because I thought that it's very important because we have a variety of skill set, background, and so forth. And so the question I have here is, I am just an average worker with no major accomplishment in my professional life, nor do I have talents or skills I can use in my retirement for God's kingdom. What can I do to finish strong? So I want to give Ruth the chance to, because she liked that question, and so I want to give her a chance to share with us.
The reason I like the question is the person describing is me. I don't have any talent. So what can I do? Nothing. But after all this year, I learned that God, I'm supposed to speak Mandarin because the English is already pointing out that 神给我们每个人都有特别的恩赐。 So, 好像 现在我们问我们要去
Can I have her to translate? So, because a lot of them cannot understand Mandarin. Oh, okay.
Okay, okay. So I'm trying to talk Mandarin and write this down.
Okay, okay.
所以我们时常鼓励我们的弟兄姊妹去，嘿，跟我们一起去，除了不辛苦的都很好玩的，但是他们都说啊，不行，我什么都不懂。 我也什么都不能做，只会给你们负担。但是我说 ，no， 神给我们每个人都有特别的恩赐。你如果愿意去的话，上帝会用你，你也会被祝福。然后我跟你们讲一个故事啊，有一个，大概是六七年前吧。 有一个讲广东话的老夫妇，他时常听我们都说，哎呀，一起去啊，一起走去短信啊。他就说我很想，我好想同你去啊，但系咧，我哋又唔识讲国语，又英文又马马虎虎。There's nothing we can do， 所以他时常都说我不能去啊。 但是后来我们一直鼓励他，他就跟我们去了。结果没想到，我们每到一个地方都有会讲广东话的弟兄姊妹跟我们一起同工，还很好的交流。所以他本来是很担心他不会讲话，哦，现在都很开心。我们他有一个很好的经验，所以。 我也想用这个故事来鼓励大家。你根本都是很普普通通，没有什么 talent 的人，我们也可以问上帝要我们做什么，我们也愿意踏出一步，给神带着我们的手走完他要我们走的路。谢谢。
Anybody wants to add on this question?
Yeah, I think that no matter what, you can always find some opportunity to serve God. Just for example, you know, my wife, we attend the Rock Fellowship, the church, and Nancy just mentioned that Rock Fellowship really very caring people care about each other. Each one in that fellowship really can care for other people. You know, I think we all need to have other people, you know, show their care to us. So just in this fellowship, if we have time, we can call other people up. Just ask them whether we can pray for them. Yeah, for me, okay, I really don't know whether I'm an average but I take every opportunity to learn something, you know, to improve my skill to serve God. For example, you know, first time I came to this church, 1979. I came to this church, my college classmate, Elder Lin Sen Yan, asked me to teach adult Sunday school. So I co-teach with another brother. We teach the Old New Testament, Old Testament, book by book, so in 4 years. So that was a very good education for me to learn about the Bible. Especially at that time, there were not many Chinese reference books there. I had to read an English reference book. English reference books are published by Moody Publishers. Preparing Sunday school using those books really, you know, really encouraged me to really to know and understand. Bible really is the Word of God. Bible cannot have any mistakes, any errors. So that really, you know, built a very good foundation on me, for me to serve God. And then 1985, 6 years here, then at that time I was an assistant professor of the MD Anderson. We lost a big grant, so I don't have grant to support my salary. I need to look for a job. God opened the door, at the pharmaceutical company in Fort Worth. You know, they want me to go there to work. And I understood that really God's opportunity for me to really move to Fort Worth, work full-time for the company, and then go to the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary part-time. So once I got there, I registered with a seminary, and I studied in the seminary. At that time, I was only 40-some years old. Yeah, 85, I was 40 years old at that time.
39.
So I went to seminary 8 o'clock in the morning. Studied for two hours, and then went to work at a company. And then Tuesday, Thursday night, I go to seminary 7 to 9. So during 4 years there, I study very hard. I take that opportunity really for me to equip myself so God can use me in the future. So, 89, I finished my Master of Divinity degree. By that time, I was not ready. My family was not ready. So we did not go out to serve the church right away. I continued to do my medical research. I went to National Institutes of Health, National Cancer Institute. During that 12 years, you know, finally I became a full professor at University of Maryland Medical School. I was doing very well professionally. You know, I was elected as a fellow of American Statistical Association. Also, I involved in the Chinese Statistical Society. There's an International Chinese Statistical Association. I was elected as a president of that society in 1999. And during that year, 1999, I went to China. I taught at the Beijing University, invited by their Department of Probability and Statistics. I taught a short course there, 2 weeks short course there. So professionally, I was doing well, but I failed. I felt God really want me to go into full-time ministry. So 2001, so I say that, you know, my first career is done. I want to serve God full-time. I didn't know which way I need to go. Serve the church as a pastor or teach in a seminary as a professor. I went back to the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. So I enrolled in a PhD program. A PhD program, I did not finish it. But during that 3 years, my wife finished her master's degrees in family and marriage counseling, and then Christian education. So we took every opportunity to learn, to study, to equip ourselves. And opportunity would come up. You know, then 2004, we moved out to serve three different churches. First one, St. Louis. St. Louis Church, and that is it's a very old church. Also, I think originally built up by Tai Song. And then some laundry people still in the church. And their children are doing very well. Their children are doing well in that church. And then the second church was Northern New Jersey. Yeah, Northern New Jersey, most people are from Taiwan because it's outside of New York City. And the third church was in Memphis. In Memphis, in 2017, when I went to Memphis, I had a purpose to finish my PhD. Because in Memphis, there's another Southern Baptist Seminary in America. So once I became the pastor of that church, I had agreement from the church leaders. Then I talked to the seminary. They say, you are very welcome to come here to finish your PhD. So 2017, I retired from church. But after I retired, I don't get any paycheck. But I put in my full time to finish my PhD dissertation. So 2018, I got my PhD in theology from Mid-America. So I would say that we just take every opportunity to study, to prepare, no matter, you know, we are average or above average, I think God will use us. God will use us. Yeah, that's definitely. I would say that you just think about yourself at your stage at this time. You think about what you can do. Maybe you can still try to prepare for theological education. Yeah, I want to encourage you to come to the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. We have Chinese language program. Now we have master degree. Yeah, master of theology degree in that program. And you know, I'm adjunct in that program, so I just encourage you continue to study to improve yourself. God will use what you learn to serve Him.
Thank you, Pastor Chen. We are running out of time, and so we're gonna end here. But I want to have one last question, actually, before we end. So that might be something that we can summarize it. For those who are already retired, and because we had talked about, you know, being prepared and so forth, and for those who are already retired, what advice can you give to help them optimize the game plan and finish strong? Eugene, you have spoken, so maybe you can end with this.
Well,
for us,
it's really what I said in the slide that I look at the Chinese American church and I look at how God has richly blessed us. We've been materially blessed, we've been spiritually blessed, He's blessed our careers. He's blessed our family. And I go back to that verse that to whom much is given, much shall be required. So someday we have to make an accounting to God, how we used our time, how we used our money, how we used our talents. And especially in your retirement years. And I think if you take a hard look at that question, how you've used your time, talent, and treasures, you know, we need to basically be in kingdom work. And so, again, it's just nothing more than I've tried to reiterate that we're all uniquely gifted, okay? Some of us will have, you know, the ability to study PhD. Others will not, okay? My father had an elementary school education, but God used him, okay? Because he was available and he was faithful. And he was generous. Okay, those are things that, you know, go across all of us. We don't have to be gifted intellectually or anything else. We can all be generous with our time, with our talent. Okay, we can all be faithful. And the most difficult question is actually, will we make ourselves available? Over the years, we went on many, many trips. And so we talked to many, many people about come to Vietnam, come to China with us. And I've heard every excuse in the book about why I can't do it next year. I've heard from so many people, next year, next year, next year, okay? And I've concluded over the years that there's only one requirement. If you want to go overseas on a short-term mission trip, the only requirement is you have to make yourself available. If you make yourself available, God will use you. So in your retirement, it's the same thing. If you make yourself available, he will use your talents, your time, your treasure to bless you, and you'll be a blessing to others.
Thank you so much. I hope that this has been very helpful to you and inspiring to you. And thank you so much, panelists.
Eugene, also for the final comment. Pastor Fred, can you bring us to the word of prayer? Sure. Father, we thank you for the wisdom that's been shared to us this morning, Lord. We understand that you have created each one of us with unique purposes. You have made us unique in our well-being, our gifts, our talent, our passions, our personalities, Lord. And just as the panelists have mentioned earlier, that we need to make ourselves available to you. Help us to have a mindset of what is our purpose here, what is our calling here, how we can move from success to significance. Lord, these final years, this final season can be the best years of our lives. And how can we experience that? We thank you for the panelists here as they have been in this final season, as they have made themselves available for you and advise us to be available no matter what. Just as Ruth shared, we might think we're just ordinary, but we could be used by the Lord. Teach us to be available. Teach us to understand that you are in charge and you can use us. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that we're inspired today. That we look to you as we look into the future, that you would help us to be significant by honoring and glorifying you, Lord. Again, we thank you for the wisdom that's been shared. And Father, may we not sit on what we heard, but rather that we would take some steps this week as we pray and be challenged and be sensitive to be open to hear what you want us to do. And it might be a little bit scary, but may we be willing to step out of our comfort zone, because that's the most exciting and most adventurous time when we trust in you, when we place our faith in you, Lord. You want us to do great things for you. So we commit ourselves to you in these final years, final season, and that we could be extra productive for you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.